You know, as we've been singing this morning about the holiness of God, the reality is our God is the eternal, infinite, almighty maker of heaven and earth. He's a God of wonder, of majesty, authority, and power. He is truly holy above everything else, which means he is set apart above all of heaven and earth and above every created thing that exists within them. He is the only existing entity who does not find his existence in another. He is self-existing. And in his existence, he is both absolute love and absolutely just. He always does what is both right and good simultaneously. Even with all his grandeur, limitlessness, and righteousness, he is not an impersonal God. Did you hear that this morning? Larry didn't know my message. He was just speaking the interpretation. God's not impersonal. Did you hear the personalness, the tenderness of our Father to us this morning? He's not an impersonal God, but in fact desires relationship with those he has created. Therefore, he is a good, good Father to all of us who turn from our sin and put our trust in him. And through his Son, Jesus Christ, he has revealed how we can live in a relationship with him and be conformed into the image of Christ. In Christ, we receive a righteousness within our spirit that enables our heart to experience freedom, healing, and transformation. So that our heart can become a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. And so that life flows out of our heart towards God and towards others. And as we've seen in past weeks, putting on the breastplate of righteousness is what enables us to experience all of these blessings within our heart. Healing, freedom, transformation, joy, the fruit of the Spirit. And so, as we've seen in past weeks, Ephesians 6:14 tells us, stand firm then with the breastplate of righteousness, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, with the belt of truth buckled around our waist. Amen. And so far, in our focus on the breastplate of righteousness, we've been looking at four different systems that exist within our heart that righteousness actually protects. I've kind of made a little diagram. I hope it works out this morning. But the first system is our belief system, which is our faith about God, about others, about ourselves, about the world, about the enemy, about our experiences in life. It's all that encompasses what we believe. Then there's our value system, which consists of our passions, our desires, and our affections. I preached a message about that a few weeks ago, that our passions are that which we pursue, that which we persistently and fervently desire to accomplish. So we're pursuing something. Our desires are that which we long for in our heart. That which we have this sense of is missing, is needed, or is incomplete if we don't have it within us. And then there's our affections. Those are the things that we cherish and we treasure as precious and dear. Then we have our intent system, which is our expectations, our motives, and our attitudes. We're going to get into that this morning. And then finally, there's our moral system, which is our character. That's basically that as that process works in our heart, this is who we become at the heart level. That's what we call our character. How many know you can have both good character and bad character, right? You can have a heart of stone and you can have a heart of flesh. Well, we want to be a people who have a heart of flesh, not of stone. Amen. We want to be people of Christ-like character. How many know you got to believe the right things, you got to value the right things, and you got to intend the right things in order to be who God wants us to be? Amen? And so, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look further into the intent system of the heart. And I want to provide you with a clear definition and description of expectations, motives, and attitudes. I also want to look at how they can either reflect a heart of stone or a heart of flesh. And finally, I want to focus on how we can evaluate and align our expectations, our motives, and our attitudes with the heart of God. And so I'm just going to begin by defining what they are, and we're going to look at each one of these parts of the intention system of our heart within the Word of God. And yes, believe it or not, the Word of God talks about each of these. And I will tell you, it's appropriate this morning that we talk about the holiness of God, that we sing about the holiness of God. Because in God's love, how many know that He is an all-consuming fire? How many know that He is a holy, awesome, wondrous God? And the Bible both talks about the love of God, but it also talks about the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord's not that we're terrified by Him, but that we understand that He is the one who is the final and just judge, that He holds all power, all dominion, all rule, all authority, and we will stand and give an account to Him and only Him in the final day. And what we're going to see this morning is that this part of our heart, of our subconscious mind, is where it really, the rubber meets the road. This is where it gets serious when it comes to the character of God. Because it's at this point that we can either move toward the character of God or away from the character of God. So let's look at expectations. All right? Expectations are simply this: what we believe should happen and or will happen, or what we believe should not and or will not happen. All right? Expectations can be formed. We've had them, right? You know what have you ever expected something? How many have ever had your expectations disappointed? How many have ever had your expectations fulfilled? So we know we have expectations, right? So expectations can be formed about events, experiences, people's attitudes and actions, and circumstances. Simply like how much time we will spend doing something, or how much something will cost, or how much we will spend for something. Those are all expectations. Would you agree? So like for events, let's say a birthday party, a family reunion, we can have expectations about what will happen and who we will see or who we won't see. We can have expectations about experiences like going on a vacation. Anybody been on a vacation that wasn't quite what you thought it was going to be? Right? Okay. Where we'll go, what we'll see and do and enjoy. And we can add some circumstances to that about how much the vacation will cost and how much we'll need to spend to enjoy it and how long it will last. These are all expectations. We can have expectations about further kinds of circumstances. For example, like participating in a meeting, whether it's at work, at church, a club, city council meeting, school board meeting, there's meetings. Oh, man, have we got meetings in this world, amen? And we often have expectations about what time a meeting will get started, how long it's going to last, what we're going to discuss. Would you agree? And then what about people's attitudes and actions? How about working on a team, serving on a team with someone else? Would you say we have expectations about how they'll treat us? About how much of the workload all of us will carry? And how safely we'll work to protect one another and ourselves? These are all kinds of different forms of expectations, and they're formed really from the first two parts of our heart, the other two systems of our heart. So our expectations are actually formed from what we believe, the personal passions we have, desires we have, and affections that we have that exist within our heart. And in some cases, they're actually not even only from the heart level. They can be expectations we have about sensory, mental, or emotional preferences, right? How many have an expectation when you go? I had this happen to me one time. I was expecting one thing. I was out driving or riding. This was early on when Dawn and I were married. I rode the Delmac Tour one year, which is a bicycle tour from the state capitol over Labor Day weekend. It's a four-day tour, and then the last day you actually ride across the Mackinac Bridge. So roughly just under 100 miles average a day. Let me tell you, the seat of understanding understood. Woo, that's a long trip, let me tell you. But while we were training for that trip, another friend of mine and I, we had been out. It was a hot, humid day. We finished riding. He invited me in to visit for a little bit. He said, "Would you like a glass of iced tea?" And I said, "That sounded really good right now, okay?" So he poured out a glass of tea. I took a big swig of that, and I'm telling you, my eyes got about that big around because I was expecting what I knew was iced tea, which was like a sun-type tea that I grew up drinking. And let me tell you, this was sweet tea. And I don't like sweet tea. And I'm telling you, my brain was expecting one thing, but I got another, let me tell you. It was bad. And so it can even be along those types of physical preference type things that we have expectations, all right? But when we meet, when we experience unmet expectations, we will generally experience an internal wrestling that causes a reaction within our emotions. Would you agree? When feeling these emotions, we will often not consciously know or even understand why we're feeling them. Now, that day I understood while I was feeling it, but that was more of a physical expectation. But how many of you have been there? You're feeling something, something didn't go the way you expected it to go. You've got these internal wrestlings that are going on. You're feeling certain things, but you can't put your finger on exactly why you're feeling that way. You know, sometimes we just can't quite tell because what's going on is below the surface level. Would you agree? It hasn't come up to our conscious mind and emotions so that we can recognize what's going on. It's because expectations lie below. They're in the subconscious mind, in the heart. And sometimes it takes a while. I've done that. Matter of fact, you guys have heard me, you know, preach when the journey that God took me personally on with Maria coming to our house and going back to school. And I'm telling you, in the different circumstances that happened with her, some things happened that caused, I had expectations. That day, and most of you know the story, but when we were down at the Planned Parenthood rally and hadn't seen her for 2 weeks, I had expectations about seeing her because I hadn't seen her for 2 weeks, and what I expected was going to be a hug and a smile, and it was not a hug, and it was not a smile, and it was just kind of a flat response. I'm telling you, something started happening inside my heart. And it took me literally some weeks to process through why. I mean, yeah, that might be a disappointment, but why did it affect me so deeply? It was because there were some expectations that were deeper than just that a moment, that event that happened right then and there. There was some other things that triggered some deep expectations about relationship and things that I'd experienced and hadn't experienced in life. So when we get to this level of the heart, sometimes it's not always easy to figure out what's going on in there. Does this make sense? Okay. And so sometimes it requires seeking the Lord and the help of wise counsel to consciously recognize the expectations that exist in our heart. I know for a fact that there are some of you are sitting in this pew this morning and you're dealing with some of this. What I'm describing right now, you're dealing with it. There's something going on in your life right now where you haven't got it all figured out yet. What you expected, what you thought would be a certain way, what you thought should be or what will be, didn't happen the way you thought it would be or it should have happened. Or something that you thought should have happened didn't happen. Or something that should not have happened, excuse me, I said that back, should have happened or would have happened, but it didn't. And so, this is where we really live life, is at this place, and this is where we often struggle. But once we recognize our expectations, it's then important to determine whether or not our expectations are healthy and legitimate, or if they're not, and then how to appropriately address them. All right? So we're going to look at some examples of expectations in God's Word. Let's begin with James 1, 5 through 8. That's what I love about God's Word. It gives us examples and instruction about the deep places of our life. How many know the Word of God goes deep at times? And we're going to actually eventually look at a passage that talks about just that. So James 1, 5 through 8, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Listen, that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Okay? So what James is saying here is, listen, you have to understand that receiving anything from God requires faith. And if we're double-minded, then our faith is not completely purified. Therefore, it's diluted. And that's why he says you're double-minded. And so therefore, we have to continue. How many know if you have something that's impure, you've got to go through a filtering process to strain out the impurities, right? That's what the Bible talks about fire often does. How many know sometimes we go through fiery trials? And guess what fiery trials do? They become a refining fire that purifies us and brings that which is impure in our faith to the surface so that we can see it. And we don't often like it, I admit. I don't like it. I want it easy. I want it quick. I want it now. I want to be perfected now. Well, how many of you want that too, but have found it doesn't work that way, right? We've got to build our faith. And so we cannot expect. See, this is what's crazy, because we think like this, but then we struggle with, does God really love me? Is he going to come through for me? Will he do what he promised he would? Now, there's always going to be a part of me, well, sure, he's God. He's always going to do that. But then there's this thing inside that we struggle, we wrestle with, right? And so we have to continue to press into God, not letting the world's distortions, delusions overtake us. We have to continue to pursue God and His Word until I believe it. I know that I know that I know it in my heart, because that's what belief is. And then we can receive from God. Amen? Then we can expect to receive something from God. And listen, folks, this is where the challenge comes, because a lot of people think, well, if I'm not receiving from the Lord, must be it's not His will. That's not the case. Every promise in Christ is yes and amen. Every promise. And so there are things that we may not be receiving, and what happens is that we've developed theologies in the church where we blame God. Now, we don't call it that. We would never blame God. But then we ask questions, why aren't you giving me this? Why didn't you take care of this? Would you agree? How many think that's double-mindedness? That's not purified thought about God completely yet. And so we have to be willing to go back to the Word of God and not let our expectations determine whether God loves us, whether God's going to be faithful, whether God's going to come through. But we change those expectations from what we expect to the promises of God, so that our expectations are on what He has said, not on what we see, taste, touch, smell, and hear. Would you agree? How many say that's challenging? You can say it. That's challenging. Amen. All right. Let's go to Luke 6, 32 through 36. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, now there's the word, expect, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. You had to go there, Pastor. I'm with you, let me just tell you, okay? Then, everybody say then. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Talk about our expectations being conformed to God's heart, not our own heart. How hard is it to love someone when you don't receive love in return. Boy, does that bring your expectations into check. And it reveals a bit of what's in our own heart, doesn't it? And then it gives us the opportunity to step out in faith and obedience and do what God says to do in spite of it. And I want to tell you, I believe that this is one of those occasions when if we won't grow weary in well-doing, even in our expectations, when they're not met, God can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. I get a little personal with you about that. This past weekend I shared, I think earlier, the special time that we had with Maria this weekend. You talk about a weekend of what this idea of expectations. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because I don't want to bring embarrassment or whatever, but she had expectations about who she had hoped to see at her graduation. And as it turned out, those expectations went unmet. As she has been away, she lived with us for that year. I didn't realize expectations that had risen up in my own heart about, you know, you call it hope, but you really, if it doesn't happen what you're hoping for, it's an unmet expectation, honestly. And a fair amount of that happened. We didn't have sometimes be long periods of time for there was much communication. We would reach out. We would extend. We would support. We would pray. We would love. And didn't get, at times, a lot of reciprocation. Ironically, that was because of those were our expectations. Her expectations was nobody has hung in there with me. So I just expect that no one ever will. And then with Dawn and I being there at her graduation this year, she, by the Holy Spirit, something clicked in her heart. And there was a point in the weekend where we were going up to Chicago for dinner. We went for a trip on Saturday night. She was with us. And she just began to walk us through a litany of things that had happened that one she'd been disappointed by in one sense. But then, interestingly enough, you know, we can have positive desires, expectations, if you will, and you can have negative, right? So the positive on her side is she was hoping those that she wanted to be there would be, weren't. But on the flip side, the negative, I mean, have you ever had conflicting expectations? Like in one sense, you like really want it, and so you expect it. There's an expectancy for it. But there's this always part held in you in reserve that says, I don't want to get my hopes up too high because then if it doesn't happen, I don't crash too hard. You know what I mean? Well, she had a bit of that. And so she began to share with Dawn and I and even apologize that when I didn't reciprocate back, when I didn't share appreciation, when I didn't take the time. She said, you guys never gave up on me. When I expected that you would, you didn't. And she began to just share things with us that, needless to say, I was a blubbering mess in the vehicle about how much she appreciated what we'd done, what we'd invested. That you, I know you'll always be praying for me. I know, I mean, I was a sopping mess by the time we got done. But I'm going to tell you, there were times, I have to be honest, if God had not told me, because he used her, I've shared that months ago, he used her to kick the doors of my heart open. And I will tell you, when that reciprocation didn't come, this verse, this passage about loving those who don't love you in return really hit me between the eyes. But God had told me, do not close your heart to her. And so there were times where it would have just been easy to go, you know what? You do your thing, we'll keep doing ours. You're in Indiana, we're in Michigan. Now I know, hey, a pastor's not supposed to feel that way. Well, guess what? We're human beings too. As if you didn't know that about me already. But by doing what God says to do, it is one time in my life where I'm telling you, the harvest came. And I'll tell you, those who sow in tears will reap with joy. So if you're sowing into a situation and you have had much weeping, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Keep doing it. 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 You will reap a harvest. You will. Keep it up. You know, I'm just going to leave it. I just think that is enough for today. So if I have to preach on motives and attitudes at a later time, we're going to. But I want to ask you something this morning. What expectations have gone unmet in your life that you have been carrying? Are you feeling weary? I don't know why it reminds me of an old hymn. Some of you may remember, are you feeling weary? I can't even remember the tune, but you know, you do. We get to that place in our heart where we expect certain things to happen certain ways. They don't always happen the way we think they should or think they will. Or some things do happen the way they think they shouldn't or they wouldn't have, but they did. God wants to come into that place. You know, we ask Jesus into our heart, right? And we're born again. Do you believe Jesus wants to heal the areas of unmet expectations in your heart? Do you think Jesus cares about those things that you walk around with and live with every day? See, we can come to Him and say, Lord, I don't understand this. I can't make sense of it. But I know You can take me through. Would you stand with me right now? Sometimes we just got to keep crying out to God. We got to keep crying out to God. And sometimes it just takes time, folks. It just takes time to keep walking through. But if we will be honest with God, with what's in our heart, and we will go to His Word, He will help us to, one, recognize what's going on in there and how He can bring order and healing to it. I wish I could say it was a snap of a finger. It's not. And again, I'm just going to say, I know for a fact, more than not, are the families in this body that are dealing in some fashion with what I'm talking about this morning. And I want to invite us to just, everybody come up here. And as we, come on up, as we worship, because we're going to go back into worship, I want to encourage you to begin to cry out to God. Just tell Him, Lord, be honest with Him. You know, I know we don't often like to do this. I know we don't like to get gut level honest because we don't like to cry in public. Right? Yeah. But we're still believing God for something. And because of these expectations, and they're not fully met yet, we get discouraged. We get weary. Well, the Lord's saying today, come to Me. Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, or another translation says heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you. How many know a yoke an ox doesn't like? Right? Because you're tied to that other ox. Well, God's the lead ox in this relationship. But listen, He says, take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. I grew up with horses and mules and all that. We had teams. We went to the fairs. I learned how to drive a team and to break a horse. And I'll tell you, if you put a broke horse with a green horse, if you know what those terms are, the broke horse would walk straight and true, and that green horse would wander like a snake. But because it was connected with that other horse, it eventually learned how to walk the straight line. Well, how much more with a wood yoke? You know, because if this ox goes this way, that one's coming with it. Right? The experience. Well, take My yoke upon you, the Lord says, and learn from Me. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. What He's saying there is, all you got to do is keep walking with Me. Keep walking, keep learning, and you will, in due time, find rest for your souls. In due time, you will reap a harvest. So as we go into worship again, I want you to speak that. I'm going to invite you to speak that out in faith this morning. Say, Lord, I'm walking with you no matter what. I don't understand this. Just get real. I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know how much more I've got to learn. But I'm going to keep going, and I'm not going to let weariness overtake me. I'm going to rest in you. And there will be a day where joy comes in the morning. And so let's just begin to worship. If you would like us to pray with you,